and the meditations of all our hearts. Be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Each of the resurrection accounts in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is different. Because John stands alone as the non-synoptic gospel, basically meaning it doesn't look like the other three, people tend to have strong opinions about it. In other words, some preachers say they love it. Others say they hate it. While the Gospel of John sometimes seems a little strange, there's much to love in the Gospel. In fact, sometimes it's referred to as the love Gospel. It's just that emphasis on love in the Gospel of John that makes it so special as an Easter text. One of the commonalities between the Gospels is the role of the women disciples on Easter morning. In all four Gospels, the women are the first to go to the tomb and find that Jesus is risen from the dead. Consequently, women are the first to bear witness to the gospel message that Jesus is alive. More than one commentator has noted the irony in the fact that some churches withhold the right of women to preach when they were the first witnesses to the resurrection. One of the unique elements in John's account is Mary's meeting with Jesus, who she initially misrecognizes as the gardener. But is she really in error? After all, the Gospel of John is the gospel that begins with the beautiful prologue, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word with a capital W is Jesus. John states right up front that Jesus is God and Jesus was with God from the very beginning. This is often called the high Christology of John, meaning that John begins with Jesus being fully God. However, John does not waste any time telling us that Jesus was also fully human. In John 1:14, John says, quote, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth," end quote. Jesus lived among us as fully human. Jesus was fully human and fully God. So backing up, Jesus was in the garden with God from the beginning. Jesus is as fully a gardener as God the Father. So to me, it's a nice recognition or misrecognition when Mary calls Jesus the gardener. As most of you know, my wife and I take particular joy in gardening. While we take special pride in our roses, we also enjoy vegetable gardening. One year, I asked my wife if she had any tomato seeds because I wanted to try and start our own plants from seed. In prior years, we'd bought plants that were already started, but this year, I wanted to see if we could do it from seeds. Terry found some seeds she'd taken from some tomatoes given her by a friend named Catherine. They were dried up, wrapped in a paper towel, and had been in Terry's seed drawer for God only knows how long. I took those seeds, put them in special seed trays with special potting soil and water, and put them under a grow light. Lo and behold, green shoots. Soon they were big enough to transplant. Such joy comes from new life out of old dead seeds. Likewise, I believe that God through Jesus can reasonably be called a gardener. Not only did God initially plant us in a beautiful garden, but God nurtures us. And when we dry up, God comes to restore life in us like a gardener. Many of Jesus' teachings use agricultural and nurturing analogies. The great I Am teachings of the Gospel of John include such life-giving analogies such as, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world. Jesus also said that he had living water, and anyone who is thirsty should come to him for a drink. While I like to think of God and Jesus as gardeners, that's not really the point. The point is that the scripture we have read today makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is not just dying for us. Jesus also lived for us. John makes it clear that Jesus was flesh. Jesus was not a disembodied spirit that came to earth. Jesus really lived with us. And as I pointed out last week, Jesus experienced what we experience, even death. Yes, Jesus died for us. Yes, it is important and amazing and a display of perfect love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the story does not end there. The great, beautiful message of Easter is that Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead for us. That statement is fantastic and to some unbelievable. But it is as documented a historical fact as any in history we have. And if that's not enough, we have our own personal experience and witness that the resurrected Jesus changes lives. For me, it comes back to the words of the song, He Lives. It chokes me up every time I think of the words that I learned as a child. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men may say. I hear His words of mercy. I hear His words of cheer. Whenever I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. And because Jesus lives and continues to live with and for us, extending the gardener analogy a little further, Jesus, like a gardener, goes to prepare a place for us. We are like the soil, and Jesus has given us His Word like seed that might grow within us and bear fruit. Jesus has, and through His Holy Spirit, continues to give us light and nourishment that we might grow up as children of God. Jesus calls us each by name and empowers us to become brothers and sisters to Christ and children of God. Notice the joy with which Mary responds. John, who's written mostly in Greek, gives us the Aramaic word that Mary spoke, Rabboni. This is more than just saying teacher. It's a diminutive form which would be more like saying, my dear teacher. Apparently, she grabs hold of him, probably in a big hug of joy. Jesus tells her to let him go because he needs to go to the Father. Note that he says, not only my Father, but your Father as well. And to make it abundantly clear, Jesus says that he goes to his God, not only his God, but our God too. In closing, I want to remind you of another garden analogy that comes to us by Jesus in John. In John 12:24, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." This is a beautiful image of the resurrection, and it's an image that can give us much hope as well. For like Jesus, we will die. But also like Jesus, we will be raised from the dead to something even better. Like seeds, our gardener will plant us. But also like seeds, we will grow into something even better and bear much fruit. Thanks be to Jesus who lived, died, and was resurrected for us. Amen. With that, we go to the table set for us by our Lord. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south to sit together as the people of God in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, broke it, and blessed it, and then they recognized him. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table, not First Presbyterian Church's table or the Presbyterian Church USA's table, but the Lord's table. And all who seek him are invited. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. So the Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after having blessed it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me."